dedicated to just the one from the Fringe at the Edinburgh Festival.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Thank you. Hello, my name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the many, many listeners we have throughout the world, I can tell you, and also to welcome the four exciting, talented, and individual players of Just a Minute who have joined us for this particular edition of the show. We are delighted to welcome back an individual, an outstanding comedian, Paul Merton, and also a lovable, an outrageous comedian, Graham Norton, and a talented and distinctively Scottish comedian, Richard Morton, and the distinctive and multifaceted humorist, Clement Freud. Would you please welcome all four of them? As usual, I am going to give them a subject on which I'm going to ask them to speak, and they will try and do that for just a minute if they can, but they have to do it without hesitation, repetition, or deviating from the subject. Beside me sits Elaine Wigley, who will help me keep the score, she'll hold the stopwatch, and she will blow a whistle when 60 seconds are up. And this particular edition of Just a Minute is coming from the Pleasance on the Fringe at the Edinburgh Festival, and in front of us here we have a delightful, attractive, and exuberant Fringe audience who are going to encourage us on our way, and we'll begin the show with Clement Freud. Clement, the subject is a can of worms. Can you tell us something about that subject in just a minute, starting now?
A can of worms is a gastronomic item which has to date escaped me. I wonder whether lugworms really shouldn't get a much better press than they do. Worms in common with head lice, dung beetles, and cockroaches are allowed.
Paul Merton, you've challenged.
Hesitation.
I agree with the hesitation. So, Paul, you have a correct challenge. You get a point for that. And you take over the subject of a can of worms, and there are 39 seconds left, starting now.
I had to take back a tin of baked beans at a supermarket the other day because it was well past its sell-by day. I opened it up, and there was a load of maggots inside it. I said, this is a can of worms you're selling me here. They said, well, what do you expect? It's more meat in it than you'd normally get. I said, listen here, I'm going to start a fight. So I did, and I took them to court, and I won. Several years after that, I found myself walking through the district of Paisley, which is, as you know, is near Glasgow, and I was wandering around when suddenly a man came out of the shadows holding a can of worms. He gesticulated to me in a rather strange manner, and I was tempted to follow him down these labyrinths, these dark alleyways, into a very strange area where I suddenly saw the worms' burial ground.
Well done. Well, Paul Merton not only took the subject, but took it at pace and kept going and kept changing the phraseology so he didn't repeat himself. And speaking as the whistle went, so he gains an extra point for that. And at the end of that round, you won't be surprised to hear that he's the only one who's got any points. And Paul, we'd like you to take the next round. The subject, black comedy. Tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now.
It's a particular form of humour, black comedy, that looks at the darker side of life. One prime example of this would be the Mel Brooks film Young Frankenstein, made in the early 1970s, that featured the monster recreated by the mad doctor. And there was a rather charming graveyard sequence, I seem to remember, that was rather fun. Marty Feldman.
Richard Morton, you've challenged.
Repetition.
What?
So I'm actually from Newcastle, Nicholas, but you said I was Scottish, so I had to go, repetition.
Richard, have I got to actually introduce the whole show again?
No, Richard's prepared to come from Scotland for the purposes of this show.
If you want to move the border down to the Roman wall, that's okay, I don't mind, it's great. I'm sorry about that Swedish accent, everybody, I put on there. But Paul actually repeated the word rather.
He did it twice.
Yeah. Really?
That's not like me.
Yeah.
No, but it was correct. So, Richard Morton, you have a correct challenge, and it's lovely to have somebody from Newcastle on the show. Yeah. and we loved it. And black comedy is the subject, by the way, and you have a great challenge, a point for that. 38 seconds available starting now.
Black comedy, of course, is very big in Scotland, with many comedians like Chip Murray from Glasgow coming out with marvellous, macabre, dark sort of jokes, putting them into his stand-up act and making them very successful. Scottish audiences, of course, like dark comedy.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of course.
Oh, yes. That's one of those sort of reactions.
Ooh, well, if it's going to be like
that. Yes. Get him. But it is a correct challenge. I mean, the rules of the game, I have to abide by that. So, Clement, you have a point for that. You have 24 seconds still available on black comedy starting now.
I like Bill Cosby best.
Format you challenged.
Hesitation.
Yes, actually. Yes, I think you would interpret that as hesitation. I think it was just about that. So another point to you, Paul. Black comedy, 19 seconds available, starting now.
There is a production that tours around the country called the Rocky Horror Picture Show. And our chairman, Nicholas Parsons, was once desperate enough to appear in it in a pair of fishnet stockings where he would parade around on stage in front of people who paid good money to see him. And he would regale them with what he liked to think was his wimpy.
We have some Rocky Horror fans in the audience, actually.
It's
there
a black comedy, isn't it?
I know, black comedy, there we are. With black tights and black fishnet tights and high heel shoes, but that's only for the finale.
That's what he wears going to the theatre.
Paul, you kept going with your description of black comedy or Nicholas Parsons in his high heel shoes until the whistle went, so you have gained that extra point. And pros and cons. That's the subject, Richard. Go on it if you can for 60 seconds, starting now.
Pros and cons, of course, means the good or the bad, the easy or the difficult. It's a judgment or a decision that we make and decide in a contingency way in our minds. When we are faced with a situation that is so difficult, we just talk rubbish like I'm doing now. Hopefully someone will take pity on me and both.
And Graham Norton.
It was just a mercy interruption. Yeah. It's sort of the panel game equivalent of Pet Rescue. Yeah. I just came in.
Graham Norton, yes? 43 seconds available to tell us something about pros and cons starting now.
Pros and cons are similar yet different. Pros make you pay for something you want. Cons remove money from you for things you don't actually need. Con men. You see, rather clever. I don't know how I thought of it myself. However, that's really the end of the only thing I can think of to say about that.
Clement Freud challenge.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
You've had a similar challenge to the other one for that Graham had for Richard. So 18 seconds for you, Clement, on pros and cons starting now.
People believe that some of the most beautiful prose was written by Ed Nelson Vincent Millay, although Catherine Mansfield has her admirers. Moving smoothly to cons, these tend to be confidence tricksters, evil men.
Clement Freud was then speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point for doing so, and he's moved forward. He's still in second place behind Paul Merton, our leader. Graham Norton, it's not only your turn to begin. Oh, I'm sure this has been chosen for you. Fashion victim.
Is that a thing already?
No, I would say to our listeners that Graham is probably looking the most elegant and most fashion-conscious dresser of anybody.
I just say, coming from you, Nicholas, that's very scary.
Somewhere there's a deck chair with a coat-shaped hole in it.
That's because I'm wearing a sporty, stripy blazer.
Which that's actually modelled by Anthony Eden.
Which I'm not able to wear on television because it's what is known as strobes. It all goes like that.
That's what they told you.
Anyway, Graham. He's wearing an outrageous check shirt with a sort of suede-type jacket with a pocket. I don't know whether he is a fashion victim or not, but he will talk on the subject for 60 seconds if he can, starting now.
I'm put in mind of Zandra Rhodes, poor sad creature. She technically is not a fashion victim, more a fashion fatality. She is the catwalk equivalent of a roadkill. The squashed hedgehog of haute couture. Some spiky, bloody mess on the street would be more attractive than one of the bizarre caftan-esque things that she puts over her head in the morning. Does she not have a full-length mirror in her house? And as for the strange doodlings she places upon her very own head, I can't understand it at all. You do sort of think it's crueler to test that on her than an animal.
Well, Graham, you have not played the game as much as others, but my goodness me, you have got the knack of it now. You went with style and panache and verve, and you kept going for the full 60 seconds. You didn't repeat yourself, you didn't hesitate, and you did not deviate. And at the end of 60 seconds, you gained that extra point for speaking, but you get a bonus point for not being interrupted. Congratulations again. Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, the full shilling. Tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now.
The English shilling is a rather outmoded piece of currency, but the full shilling was worth 12 pence, or 24 halfpennies, or twice that number of farthings. There was something called the Queen's shilling, which many thought was the going price for a homosexual relationship, but was actually money which recruiting officers gave young men in order to fight in the army for...
Oh, my challenge!
Well, he said he was to join the Navy, therefore it was a homosexual practice. It's deviation. We all know what they get up to in the Navy. The challenge was... oh, God. On tape. Just spool it back. It doesn't really matter. It would take too long to explain.
So, an incorrect challenge, then, we'll say. And, Clement, you continue for 28 seconds, for the full shilling, starting now.
There used to be a woman called Mrs. Shilling, who was a milliner and wore...
Full challenge.
Deviation. She's still alive. Gertrude Shilling.
Gertrude Shilling, yes.
Is she still alive? Her mother?
Yes.
Well, her mother... Her mother's still alive, and her grandmother.
Actually, he wasn't strictly deviating from that.
Yes,
he just said, no, you... Just when I defend you for once, Clement, I was all right. You were, yes. Gertrude, you didn't actually say Gertrude Shilling.
No.
No, you just said Mrs. Shilling. And the many Mrs. Shillings in this world, and I'm sure many of them are alive and kicking, probably listen to this program. Paul, you have got the subject at last. 23 seconds available. The full shilling starting now.
I wonder if it's one of those phrases like, he's not the full shilling, it's a sandwich short of a picnic, the lights are on, but there's nobody at home. It's that kind of colloquialism which we use about people who aren't all there. When I look around at this marvellous audience in front of me, I can see several candidates for people who aren't the full shilling. For example, there's a man at the back there. He's looking very oddly.
So, Paul Merton once again kept going to the whistle when gained that extra point for doing so and has increased his lead at the end of the round. And, Paul, it's your turn to begin. And the subject is déjà vu. Will you tell us something about déjà vu in just a minute, starting now?
I'm sure I've had this subject before. As I was saying, the experience of déjà vu, you may be sitting reading a book when suddenly an image comes into your head of being in that same position with a piece of paper in your hand with typed words on it. You think, I have done this before. I have lived a life before.
Graham Norton, new challenge first.
Oh, in fairness, it was repetition, really.
Yes, it was, right. Graham, there are 33 seconds left. Deja vu is with you, starting now.
I recall watching an American film, very frightening, scared me, and it contained a teenage girl. And after one of her friends was killed in a similar way than all the other people she knew in the college, she screamed, "Oh no, it's like deja vu all over again." And, oh, thank God.
Richard Morton, new challenge.
I just couldn't get to the end. It was scaring the life out of me. I think it was repetition, though. We had a little breath there. Was there a little tiny breath there?
A breath is hesitation, actually.
Well, I've breathed twice.
I mean, there's hesitation. That's the word. Just when you're going to get to the denouement, just as the knife was coming down there, Greg.
Yes, I live in deja vu. You can't help but have repetition.
Yeah.
But he hesitated.
Yeah. Oh, I see.
He hesitated.
Oh, I do beg
but
your pardon.
But he got muddled between hesitation and repetition. Yeah. He hasn't played the game as much as you.
Oh, I see.
And I'm from Scotland, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell by my accent, Paul?
Absolutely.
Yeah, right. So, the
didn't
first time cider who's been adopted by the Scots. Okay. 7 seconds are available for you, Richard, on deja vu, starting now.
I've always wondered what, indeed, the French use for the term deja vu. Because if that's their phrase for it, then what do they...
Clement Freud.
I just thought it would be nice to press this buzzer.
Was it?
Well, no. Disappointing.
So, Richard, you have a point for an incorrect challenge. You keep the subject. There is half a second left. Deja vu starting now.
Carrie Damage.
So, Richard Morton gained that extra point for speaking as the whistle went, and he has moved forward, and he is in second place now behind Paul Merton. Clement Freud, it's your turn to begin. The subject is gear. Tell us something about Gia, starting now.
Gia is a Hebridean island which is just west of the Mull of Kintyre. You would overfly Arran, and on the way to Islay, possibly Colonsay, there is Gia, spelled G-I and then the first letter again, H-A. It's a particularly pleasant landmass, and I would recommend that everyone go there, and the place is about the same size as this audience, so that you would be extraordinarily welcome. I haven't myself been there, but noticed it on the map. Gear is also a word used for clothing, apparel, the sort of trousers, shirts, shoes, socks, ties that predominantly young people now wear on all occasions. Say, look at my gear, and one regards, one does as asked. And I find it really pretty appalling. I mean, sad, the sort of designer...
Well, it is very rarely that we have somebody who starts the subject and finishes it without being interrupted, and it's happened twice in this show already, and kept going to the whistle away and gained that extra point for doing so, and a bonus point for not being interrupted, and he's now gone into the lead just ahead of Paul Merton. And Paul, it's your turn to begin. The subject is the endurance test. You have 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
If you were an ordinary punter up here at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and you decided to see 10 shows a day for every single 24 hours of the particular thing that's going on up here, you would need to have the stamina of a workhorse, because there are over 500 shows, there are thousands of performers, there are 14 pints of beer to drink every hour. It's extraordinary the amount of effort and work you'd go to just to be simply...
Graham Norton challenge.
That seems great. What's repetition of hour?
Yes, there was there are hour and shows as well.
Oh, well, but... so I'm going home.
Graham, you have... It wasn't worth it. Don't laugh, please. You have 34 seconds to tell us something about the endurance test, starting now.
The endurance test that enters most of our lives most frequently is...
Clement Freud.
Repetition of most.
There were two mosts. Most frequently, most of our lives.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. Clement, 28 seconds. Tell us something about the endurance test, starting now.
The very first gramophone record which I ever had and went to school with was called There's no one with endurance but the man who sells insurance. He's everybody's best friend. You may follow him and get him, but remember, he will bet him, for he gets us all in the end. Nobody much listened to it, so it never became one of the discs in the top 10, because in those halcyon days of my youth, there was no such thermometer of success.
Well, Clement Freud's illustrating his success of playing this game because he kept going to the whistle wing, gained that extra point, and has increased his lead at the end of the round. Richard Morton, will you take the next round? My favourite figurine. Can you tell us something about it? In just a minute, starting now.
My favourite figurine is a small plastic figure of Top Cat, the Hanna-Barbera cartoon character, which I bought in New York about 5 years ago in FAO Schwartz, the toy shop. And it reminds me of happy childhood memories, sitting in front of the television watching what I now consider to be a very sophisticated and witty animated TV series from the late 50s and early...
Graham Norton, you challenged.
Oh, repetition of TV.
Did
yes,
I?
Yes, I'm
did
afraid
I?
So. Yes, you did.
This is harder than it looks, isn't it?
No. Graham, a correct challenge. My favourite figurine is with you. There are 39 seconds available, starting now.
My favourite figurine was entitled The Balloon Lady and belonged to my grandmother, whose name, bizarrely and truly, was Nellie Graham. I kid you not. The figurine sat on her sideboard and was dusted regularly, God love her, because she knew that a tidy home is a happy place to live in. And the figurine thing.
Richard Morton, you've challenged.
Yeah, that was hesitation, but Graham, I never knew your grandmum had sideboards. What did she like? You've got your grandmother's cyborgs.
Right. Yeah. Lovely.
Richard, you have 11 seconds to tell us more about my favourite figurine, starting now.
Whereas in the late 70s and early 80s, a lot of the cartoons I felt had lost their early sophistication and wittiness that had... oh, I said that before. You make me go away.
Paul Mertenchild.
You said it before and I'm not going to let him get away with it.
I know. I said that before and you've gone again.
A correct challenge. 3 seconds, my favourite figurine, Paul, starting now.
And Nathan, don't do it, please. Let me have a winning one. Let me win.
What's your challenge?
Just that I wanted to win that one and Paul was going to have it. No, you're right. I'm being silly.
No, I'm afraid you because you challenged is an incorrect one. Paul gets another point.
Oh, you.
Mm. Yes.
You've got your own show. What more do you want?
I want love.
Well, afterwards, but let you win at least one thing.
All this audience here are giving you so much. Look at their faces. Exuding love towards you, Paul. And,
Do it in Top Cat's voice and I'll let you have the points. Go on.
Oh, you let me have the points.
They can't see where my hands are right now, can they?
I didn't realise we had a trainee Nicholas Parsons in our midst. Did you know that, Nicholas?
No, I did not know that. No.
I'm not wearing that jacket.
There's a chance that you could be superseded.
Yeah. He's Scottish, you know.
Yes.
You often hear you hear the word super and Nicholas Parsons in the same sentence. Yeah. I know.
I wish I'd never started this, I'm sorry.
Oh, right. We seed on, and there are 2 seconds available. That's all, Paul, for my favourite figurine, starting now.
Picture the scene. You've got a lovely mantelpiece in your living room.
So, Paul Mutton gained points in that round, including one for speaking as the whistle went. He's now only one behind our leader, who is still Clement Freud. And then training a little behind is Graham Norton and Richard Morton. Together, we're moving into the final round. It's a pity about that. We're very sad. I'm sure the audience is sad.
Yes.
But there we are. All good things must come to an end, mustn't they? And it's Graham Norton's turn to begin, which is always nice to hear from Graham. So, Graham, bring the show to a wonderful, rousing finish with a great subject. Oh, yes, ideal for you. It's Shindig. Tell us something about it in this game, starting now.
The Shindig was a special archaeological excavation performed by archaeologists who had lost their arms in a terrible accident involving prehistoric flint. They would tie little shovels just above the knee and kneel on the ground, grunting furiously. When they found a particularly rare piece of pottery, unable to clap their hands, they would slap their thighs together with joy. You would hear the pop or the feels if you were driving along that part of the country? Oh, people would say. That would be the...
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes, a lot of people about you. You may breathe.
No, please. Thank God.
The shindig, yes, what a lovely interpretation. Clement! There are 19 seconds for you on the shindig starting now.
Shindig is a sort of Irish ceilidh, what you might call a soiree with a binge on top, in which an awful lot of people drink and dance and clap their hands, whether or not joy is there, and make contact generally. I think I've said generally.
Actually, Richard, you challenged with only half a second to go. What was your challenge?
Did I?
Yes. Well, Clement actually told you what he did.
Yeah? I was just trying to get back in the game.
No, he said he repeated something.
And I wanted to hear that phrase again, soiree with a binge on top.
Oh, I see. He did actually repeat something, so you have half a second to go on shindig starting now. Oh, no, someone else is trying to Paul.
Hesitation.
Yes, right, Paul.
My mouth is ready,
Paul, sort of second, starting now. So, we have no more time to play, just a minute. For those interested in the points, let me give you the final situation. Graham Norton, in spite of going for nearly two rounds without being tracked, but it's the contribution he makes which is so wonderful. He didn't get many points.
No.
Great contribution. Richard Morton, a similar situation, lovely contribution, fewer points. And Paul Merton, great contribution. Clement Freud, magnificent contribution. And with that little bit of flutter I did at the end, brought Paul up equal with Clement Freud, so very justifiably, and I think very fairly, equal winners, Clement Freud and Paul Merton. To our four exciting players of the game, Paul Merton, Graham Norton, Richard Morton, and Clement Freud. I also have to thank Elaine Wigley for blowing her whistle so charmingly and also helping me keep the score. We thank Ian Messiter, who created this game and keeps us all happy as we enjoy playing it so much. And, of course, Chris Neal, our producer and director, who keeps us all in order, makes sure it all comes together magnificently at the end. And we thank this wonderful audience here who've come to encourage us here at the Pleasance on the Fringe at the Festival of Edinburgh. Thank you so much. You've been lovely. From the audience, from our four panellists, from me, Nicholas Parsons, to our listeners, thank you for tuning in. Be with us the next time we play Just a Minute. Till then, from all of us here, goodbye.
And at the same time next week, Just a Minute will be coming from the St. James Theatre in Guernsey.